Hi, this is Todd Fields, and I want to welcome you once again to the Worship Circle podcast. I am your host, and if you're a brand new listener, we want to say thank you for jumping in with us. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes just by going there, and if you do, you'll be sure to not miss an episode. Welcome to summer. We hope you and your family are enjoying, hopefully school's out where you are, but you're enjoying the beginning of vacation season. Maybe you're at the beach or you're planning to go to get away and just breathe in the air, get away from kind of the daily grind. We hope that for you. Our mission here at Worship Circle is for you as a worship leader to know that you're loved and not alone from wherever you serve, whatever denomination, size, church, or the configuration looks like. There's literally an army of worship leaders around the world on the earth right now whose hearts are beating, and we are locked in spirit with an unseen realm in the heavenlies, giving praise to Jesus, who's the Redeemer of all things. He's our hope, He's our salvation, He's our peace and our joy. And we want to be all about Him as we walk beside you as a worship leader to help you be all that you can be as a servant of the King and in leadership wherever you are. We have 6-month programs. You've probably heard about this because I talk about it every time we have a podcast, but we've got some amazing coaches and mentors, guys. Listen to this list. These are just dear friends who God has brought into this Worship Circle team. Paul Balazs, Pat Barrett, Charlie Hall, Kim Walker-Smith, Meredith Andrews, Tasha Cobbs-Leonard, Carrie Job Carnes, and myself. And it is our pleasure, honor, and joy to get to know you in small group community. We do 6-month terms. You can find out more at worshipcircle.com. We have a summit coming up in July. We're going to give you the exact dates for that. We also have a hymns project releasing in mid-July that we recorded at the Rest Retreat last year that I think is going to be a big blessing to you, hopefully. We're so excited about it. But the summit coming up in July is going to be the back half of July. The only way you're going to be able to find out about it is by following us on our social media. Go to Instagram and subscribe to @WorshipCircle or Facebook @WorshipCircle. And by doing that, you'll be sure not to miss it. Now, a summit is a 3-hour online training and mentoring time where you get to meet worship leaders just like you from around the world, and you get to choose the mentors group you want to be in. It's literally just like a sampler taste of Worship Circle. So we'd love to see you there. It usually sells out fast, so we're going to give you a countdown to let you know when it's going to be live and active for you to jump in. Also, in January of 2020, we have the Rest Retreat coming up, and all of our mentors are going to be there. Amazing time of just stripped down worship where we don't have to program a ton. We can all just get away from what we normally do and just be for a while and get back to the heart of why we do what we do. So we hope that you could potentially make it there. But the only way you're going to be able to find out about any of these awesome opportunities is just to keep following along with us by the podcast and social media. Just to let you know, next term starts in October. We're already filling up. We have groups already, getting loaded up pretty quickly. So if you're interested in jumping in and being a participant in with any one of our mentors in October, go to worshipcircle.com/program. You can read more about the program there, and you can apply. And your application is not a commitment to be a part. You can apply to see if you're accepted, because we don't accept everyone. We pray over it. We watch videos of you. We listen to your testimony and just ask God to lead us to who would be right to be in our program. So we'd love to have you apply and just get to know you that way. But you can continue to listen to the podcast for as long as you want. You don't have to do anything. This episode I'm so excited about, guys. It's called Side Hustle, and it sounds kind of, you know, that's kind of a cheesy phrase to use, and we all hear that from time to time. But a good friend of mine, Boyd Bailey, who works at National Christian Foundation here in the state of Georgia. I've known Boyd for a lot of years, but he told my wife Carrie and I something a while back that really resonated with me and is so true. He said that we all need to have multiple income streams. And I know for those of us in ministry, it's oftentimes tight. We get a salary, and there's oftentimes bills coming up and things coming up with future things we want to do, and a lot of times it just doesn't add up. We have dual income families that try to make that work. But my hope with this episode is not that you'll hear you need to go out and make a lot of money. That's not the idea of this. The idea is that I believe that even you in ministry as a worship leader, serving where you are, giving, you know, all the focus you need to with that role, I think there's still opportunity out there for you to potentially tap into things as income streams that you haven't thought of, that can even be going on behind the scenes, that require a little bit of work maybe up front, that you get going and can produce really some margin and give you and your family margin. So I hope you hear my heart in this. My good friend Casey Graham, you're going to hear from Casey in just a second, but Casey and I have known each other about 6 years now. He started the Rocket Company. I did a thing with them called Worship Rocket about 6 years ago. And I just love Casey. I love his drive. I love his heart for the Lord and kingdom. But he has just encouraged so many people to take steps of faith and risk to do things that they didn't think they could do. And they end up usually finding just so much fulfillment doing something that they never dreamed they could do and making money doing it. So I hope you're encouraged by my conversation with Casey and that you take great notes. Once again, I always say that, get your notepad out or just make mental notes, type them on your notes memo on your phone as you hear things that Casey's throwing out. But our number one heart for you in this episode is that you would just dream, you know, that you would keep your hand to the plow with the job you have in your church, serving as a worship pastor or worship leader, give it your all. But at the same time, that you and your spouse could get together and dream about additional income streams that you could maybe have for your family to give you guys some margin to be able to even bless other people. So without any more hesitation, it's my joy and honor to introduce my good friend, Casey Graham. Well, guys and ladies, I'm here with a person who we would not have Worship Circle without, and I say that because the guy sitting with me, Casey Graham, and I sat down a little over 5 years ago, I think 6 years ago, in a Starbucks, and that was the beginning of our relationship, but I wanted to bring him on. He's here with us. Welcome, Casey.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Reluctantly having me.
Oh, my God. He's like, man, I don't know if I want to do this, but well, I'm so glad you're doing this because literally I think the journey that I went on with you through Worship Rocket and Rocket Company and just relationally as friends impacted my life, and I can truly say that we wouldn't be having this podcast if God hadn't written the story that way. So thank you.
Yeah.
But first off, you're not just a business guy starting companies or an entrepreneur. You're a musician, and you had a band, right? Is that true?
That is. Purple Love Monkey.
Purple Love Monkey,
that was
people.
my first go at being a musician.
I love the fact that it's purple, and the whole Love Monkey thing. It seems like an SNL name.
Yeah, it actually started as Purple Love Monkey Lasagna Mother Earth, but then we figured we might need to shorten it. That's a true story.
Where were you in this band? In what season of life?
Yeah, I mean, I was 14 years old. Okay. I was, you know, the Pearl Jam 10 album had just come out 2 years before that, and I learned how to play guitar. But what I learned really quickly is that bass was where it's at.
Bass.
Because everybody always needed a bass player.
Yep.
And so I played bass and guitar or whatever. It's where I started.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And this is in what state, which area?
This is Birmingham, Alabama.
And, Alabama.
Yeah, Roll
Sweet
Tide.
Sweet home people. Yeah. And Casey's a diehard Bama fan, so if you ever follow him on social, you'll see the Bama tweets. He bleeds red at crimson. But man, so tell everybody just quickly, like, what were you doing when we met? Like, you know, what were you in the midst of at that point?
Yeah, you talking about when we were hanging out?
Yeah, like first meeting we had in Starbucks, you were doing what?
Yeah, I had a company called the Rocket Company,
right?
And basically was our philosophy was to teach and help pastors know everything that they didn't learn in seminary,
right?
Which was a lot.
Yeah.
Of the just practical stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, how to raise money, you know, how to get recruit volunteers and get them to not burn out, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then, so we had all these different ideas, and then that's when you and I started connecting, and we connected via, I think, Jeff Henderson. We did Preaching, I did Preaching Rocket with Jeff, and then we connected, and you were like, man, I've got all this teaching, and you had like, I remember you showed me, you had stuff already done, like you had 20 coaching things and stuff written out and all these things, and it was just on a hard drive, and it wasn't in an order, but it was like, this is content, and that's when we were sitting there, and I literally remember it like it was yesterday. I know the seat we were sitting in the Starbucks.
Yep.
And just going like, dude, you've got to get this stuff out.
Yeah.
And that's the season of life. My wife's Casey as well. Just in case I say Casey, I want
Casey's.
Everybody to know I'm not talking about myself in third person.
Exactly.
And so that was the journey. That's where we were. And we were blowing and going. You know, it was a for-profit business serving the church space.
Yeah. And it was a crazy ride. And, you know, looking back, I know a lot of churches were helped. yeah. by the program and by the material. And when Casey came into my life, I had been coaching and kind of doing one-on-one Skype sessions. And
that's right.
Really had all this content. And
that's
you,
right.
You kind of started to help me understand scale and like how can we reach more people
right.
with something that everybody needs. So I gathered in my first meeting that you were pretty entrepreneurial. Is that something that started with you? At a young age, high school, like what was, talk about some of your entrepreneurial experiences, successes and failures.
Oh, I've had it all. I mean, Todd, at 7 years old, I was knocking on doors, no joke, and asking people if I could do something in their yard. My first gig I got was at Miss Cassidy's yard. She let me pick her weeds, me and three friends. We got $21, split it $7 a piece.
You just asked her.
7 years old. Yeah, different time where you walk around Pleasant Grove, Alabama, small town, knock on doors. At 14 years old, I started my own lawn care business, and I met a guy that's still on my board today that taught me how to invest in stocks and taught me how to invest in mutual funds. And so the 30th of every month, I had $50 a month starting from the time I was 14 years old being taken out of my account.
Yeah,
you know, so I did car washing, all that stuff in high school. My first real business was in college. It was called collegeloadout.com. And it was focused on sorority girls.
Okay.
And so we would move their stuff. So dads would have to come lug up and down couches, up and down stairs. And I would just watch these dads do this stuff. And I was like, well, instead of them having to come do this, I wonder if they would send, you know, I was on the baseball team, a bunch of baseball players some money. And, you know, so we'd go to this may be off topic.
No, whatever. It's great. You're solving a problem. It's
but the point was, is we would go to speak at the sorority meetings.
Yeah.
Because we're like, how do we get to the parents' info?
Yeah.
And we would literally hand stuff envelopes from us and we would just tell them and they would already be they'd already be addressed and just say, hey, write your parents' address on there and then just write a note to your dad. And we put a phone number on there and they'd send it home in the mail and then our phone would start blowing up and we would move people out. So I've been doing this stuff, you know, for my whole life. But then I joined a church. It was a church here in Cumming. We helped. That's how I got here in this area.
Right.
But it was entrepreneurial in nature that it was a startup and this, that, and the other. Did that for about 6 years. And then that's when I went out and started my own company at 27, was the very first time.
How much is the entrepreneurial spirit like sitting in your room and daydreaming about what needs to be met? And how much of it is, I've got this thing that I'm kind of good at. Like, is it both and, you say?
It is, but one of my good friends, Brad Martineau, says that the map will appear when the car is in motion. Do you remember the old Garmin maps?
Yep.
And so my philosophy of starting anything is don't sit around and think about it. Just go try something.
Yeah.
Anything. It doesn't even matter what the thing is, because I've never started one thing that was the thing.
Yeah.
Ever in my entire life.
Right.
So it's always been start, that didn't work, iterate, start, that didn't work, iterate, start, that didn't work, iterate. And it usually is about, I mean, our current company, this was the 13th idea that we tried in 12 months.
Wow.
After we sold the rocket company, this was the number 13 idea. Like, no joke, I can tell you every one of them. And it's just like, you get in and you try and people go, oh, you know, you're crazy. You're doing all this good stuff. It's like, no, I just know if I don't try, I'm never going to find the idea. You don't, I just don't think that there's very few inventors.
Yeah.
Like where they have this thing and they go invent the thing and that was the right thing. Most of the time it's an iteration.
How many would you say of the truly successful companies and businesses that take off were that? They just try to, you know, the famous people we hear about.
Yeah. Well, do you know the technology called Slack?
Yeah.
Well, do you know how that was founded?
Uh-uh.
Well, it was a tech startup, heavily funded VC startup, like, I mean, millions upon millions of dollars.
Right.
And it was to create video games. That's what the company was.
Okay.
And so they had lost all their investors' money, and they're down to the last little bit. And then they go back to their investors and say, hey, guys, this is not working. We're going to at least give you back this. Mm-hmm. We know it's poor, but... Right. And they said, well, hold on. Is there anything that y'all, like, is there anything that's working in your company? Like, well, we've created this little communication platform that we use.
Right.
And out of that, they said, well, what is it? And they showed it to them. They go, that's genius. Every company needs to do that.
So they created it within their company.
Yeah. And that's how Slack was formed.
Unbelievable.
So it's very rarely the thing that you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
But that's important because everybody's scared to fail. But like, you can't get there until you try.
Yeah, I learned that from you. You just say, do it. Like, try it. You never know till you try.
My saying is action creates traction. So you got to just take action, not sit around and daydream and think stuff up.
So right now, you started this company. We're in the offices of this company called Gravy.
Yep.
Tell everybody about what that is and kind of how it came to be, what your thinking process was like.
Well, my thinking process was we had a problem at the Rocket Company when people were on subscriptions, their credit cards declined.
Yeah, we have that at Worship Circle.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was one of those things like, at first it wasn't a big deal, but then as we started growing, it was like, man, we were losing six figures a year.
Wow.
Didn't know it.
Right.
So we solved it at that company. And then long story short is after we sold the company, I started coaching other entrepreneurs. I was like, hey, what are you doing for credit card declines? And everybody would just stare at me with a blank stare.
We lose money.
Yeah. And then I would go take a deep dive and look and go, and it's always worse than you think.
Yeah.
It's always worse when you have a big subscription base. Oh, and so we didn't start it as a company though.
Yeah.
We started it to say, hey, we're just going to do this to pay me and Renee so that we have some income, something to do, because we didn't know what to do. And so that's how it started. And we started with two friends. And I said, hey, can we beta this on your company for 6 months and just see if it works? And and so what we do is we provide a solution where we have real people that act as customer service for big companies that have a bunch of subscriptions.
Yeah.
And so we are the back end that comes in. And when a credit card fails, we have a live individual that reaches out to that person and recovers that payment and that credit card, and we get a cut off of it.
Yeah. So there's a personal touch.
It's a personal touch.
It's a human
touch.
Being making the call.
It is, but we're tech enabled, but it's the personal touch that what makes the difference.
I remember being in another Starbucks, the one down the street, and it was right before you guys started this, and you told me, you said, I have this idea. I think we're going to recoup money for subscriptions, and it's just crazy to be. And how many employees now?
We got 30 full-time equivalents.
And kind of virtual and in-house.
Yeah, that's right, in 22 months. That's so cool. Moving, yeah.
Well, the reason I wanted to have you on, I wanted you to be able to tell your story a bit. But guys, those of you who are working in church and ministry, there's always this tension we have with money, with finances.
Yeah.
And there's all these kind of misconceptions, and some are lies we believe.
Right.
So I want to have a conversation about that. But one thing, Casey and I were texting the other day, and one thing he said that really grabbed me, he said, there's a difference in wanting to lead worship and having to lead worship. And we live in this world where we've been called by God to do this thing in the church, mm-hmm. but so many times just financially, it's never going to be.
Sure.
Maybe what we would hope and dream for our family or our legacy or our retirement account or any of that. It's
sure.
just what it is. And sometimes I feel like there's some of us think, hey, that's just the way it's always going to be.
That's right.
And I'm wrong to think otherwise, because that's not as spiritual.
Right, because I'm called.
Right, I'm called. This is my lot in life. This is my salary cap.
Right.
So what I wanted to do today is just bring you on and have a conversation about, with all these ministers and worship leaders and spouses in mind that are listening, what, you know, kind of go on a journey, you know, that we could talk about different income streams and what might be a process to do that.
Okay.
You know.
And the first thing I would say is I'm not a worship leader.
Yeah.
You know, and I told you, that's why I was struggling even to say yes to come on, is not to come on the podcast or not, but I want to say for the listeners, what they do, I don't know how to do.
Yeah.
And it matters. And I love that. And I've been there. When I started at my church plant, I was making $20,000 a year with no benefits.
Yeah.
You know, the highest I got up to was $53,000 a year. And my wife was staying home. And, you know, like that doesn't go far where we live.
Right.
So though I haven't been a worship leader, I've lived there.
Yeah.
And I had side hustles and different things when I was in ministry. I got in trouble for some of them, honestly.
Yeah.
Just because it wasn't kosher to do that.
Yeah.
So I know that struggle.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can have a good conversation to help.
Yeah, I don't want to get anyone in trouble with talking about side hustles. But at the same time, a lot of the men that I look up to that are wise say multiple income streams is good for any person.
Totally.
And I think sometimes we get trapped in this box of not even being able to think outside of all we know.
That's right.
So I wanted to read some misconceptions or things that we believe in ministry and talk about them real quick, because I've heard you talk about some of these things on social media or your podcast. We believe that working more hours equals more faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I'm here longer, if I'm just digging in, if I'm at the church, if I'm mm-hmm. being seen, all that, then that means I'm more faithful. Mm. And I've heard you talk about and seen that it's honestly better to work smarter. Talk about that a little bit. What are some of the things you've learned with just time management in the years that you've been doing business? And, you know,
well, I mean, I guess it comes down to like, what are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to be the most seen and like get the most recognition, which is, that's who I was.
Right.
I think what I was most faithful to, Todd,
yeah,
was myself being seen.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think we all struggle with that.
And being recognized, and there was a void in my life, in my heart,
yeah,
that I just didn't get a lot, and I filled it up through being successful,
right?
You know, or being like the guy, you know. And so, I think a lot, oftentimes I've tricked myself into mm-hmm. believing that more hours or more success, or even in business,
yeah,
a bigger company,
yeah,
all of these things that help me be more successful, that they equal success. But I've done those things with anxiety and panic attacks. I've done those things with depression. I've done those things. Does that make sense?
Totally.
And so I, in my journey at, you know, I'm just 38 and I'm just mm-hmm. learning and just starting, is that if I don't have peace along the way,
yeah,
and if I'm not enjoying the journey along the way,
yeah,
then it's that's not honoring to God either.
Yeah.
So one of the best things to do is the Jethro principle.
Yeah.
You know that one?
No.
It's when Moses, Moses, he's in the Old Testament, there's, everybody's coming to him and he's solving every problem.
Yeah.
He's doing everything. He's doing legal. He's doing marriage. He's doing,
you
know, scripture. He's doing God. He's doing all of it.
Sure.
And his father-in-law, Jethro, comes to him and, long story short, says, hey, why are you doing all this stuff? You're like, you're going to burn out.
Yeah.
And he's like, you need to put people in place, people over tens, people over hundreds, people over thousands, and you only need to do the things that are most important for you to do.
Wow.
And I remember hearing John Maxwell teach that principle and going, oh.
Yeah.
I'm burnt out. I'm not doing well.
Yeah.
And I'm doing all this, and there's other people that could be helping me along the way.
Right.
That's success.
Yeah.
And my success is enabling other people to accomplish more than they think they can accomplish, not me doing all the work. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It reminds me of a conversation I had with a guy, you know, Reggie Campbell, who's one of my mentors,
totally,
to help with this. But we sat down with some music directors one time at North Point, and we were just talking about that weekly, man, I'm always in the saddle,
the grind,
always on. And he said, have any of you guys thought about raising up a you, why, as a volunteer or as an, you know, somebody who knows how to do what you do, and start with, hey, once a quarter, I'm not going to be there, but my job's going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And this person I raise up is going to be able to totally do it. I'm going to train them. That's just smart.
Yeah. And that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm serious when I say that. Like, he did not do this alone.
Yeah.
Like, there was a model in place. And for us, and it's not just discipling somebody, it's people that did his job when he left.
Right.
Like, which is oftentimes we don't do, and we go, well, you know, we don't have anybody in my church, or there's nobody that can do this. And we start with all these misconceptions. And the reality is what I found, the number one way to replace yourself, you ready for it? This is mind blowing.
Yeah.
Write down a job description on paper, one page.
Yeah.
Write it down and say, this is what this person would do, this imaginary person. And what I found is, once you put it on paper and you say, this is what the person, this is what they look like, and this is what they'll do, this is the kind of person they are, this is what they would do, and this is what their task would be in church, in my role, then what will happen is they will magically appear, because what you look for, you find.
Interesting.
It's just like saying right now, show me everything in the room that's white.
Yeah.
You start seeing white everywhere. White, 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 white.
Yeah.
You know, where somebody's, if they're listening, they're seeing white everywhere. Why? Because what our brain is,
that's
actually,
so
it's actually a programmed in.
Yeah.
Do you know our brain is called the reticular activating system?
Oh boy.
Right?
We're going to school.
Well,
No,
but the point is, that our brain, if it noticed, if it noticed everything, we would go crazy.
Yeah.
It's actually on purpose that we most of the noise and most of the things we zone out.
That's amazing.
But the thing that we focus on that is the thing that comes to life. And so what are you focusing on?
Yeah.
And if you're focusing on being the guy, then you're going to be the guy, but you're going to have unintended consequences along with it.
Wow. That's such, man, it's so many of our stories. It was my story that we want to do it all.
Yeah.
We want to be seen. We want people to go, Todd did that. Yeah. Casey did that. And then the older we get, we learn we will burn out.
It doesn't take long.
And there's a smarter way.
Yeah.
And it's always seasons of life.
Yeah.
And then older you get, then you're like, now I'll find... I love that job description idea, though, because there's so many leaders listening right now who are either part-time in their church...
That's right.
...or full-time in their church, and they're literally... Their wife's going, babe, we don't get you at
all.
Yeah,
yeah.
And, you know, we want to help with that because it's a common...
Yeah, I wonder how many times they've actually just gone to church with their family. You know, most people. And most time it's not hardly at all.
Yeah.
That is not your boss's fault.
Yeah. Because most bosses, most...
No, it's not their fault.
Yeah, if you were to prove to them there's a smarter way and a better way that's healthy for the church,
yep.
They would probably be all into it, but we're scared to ask.
Totally.
We're scared to just go and, you know...
Yeah.
Write up the description.
Write the job description. That's what we do here. No, even in our current company, we write job descriptions for people that don't exist. And what happens is when you write the job description, the people, they start existing. Yeah. They start showing up because you know what you're looking for.
Unbelievable. All right, another thing we often believe without saying it.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that a desire to have money goes against God's call in our life. We had hit on that at the beginning, but like it's evil to want to make money.
Right.
That's the world.
Right.
What would you say to that?
Well, that's like saying that, is it that this car that I'm buying, is it a Christian car or is it just a regular car?
Yeah.
No, it's like saying, is this food place I'm going to a Christian food place?
Yeah.
Like, is Chipotle Christian or not? Right. No, like, so
get into that whole thing.
No, I'm saying you go down the rabbit hole of going anything external in the world.
Yeah.
If we go, well, this is, it's external. Todd, I promise, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I don't know this stuff. Here's what I know. I feel like your heart is what is either in line with God or not.
Right. That's true.
And if you have $50 billion and you have a heart after God, I don't believe that there's any difference in you as to a person that is in poverty and they have a heart after God. Same to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody with $50 billion that just doesn't believe and doesn't care and it's all about them, same is true. It's not any more spiritual to be in poverty and still be in the same way.
Yeah.
I don't think level of money determines your holiness or your non-holiness at all. It's an external factor. It does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
All money does for me and all it does for other people I've seen around me is make me more of who I am.
Wow.
So if I'm generous when I have $20,000 and I'm working at a startup church and I'm giving, when I have $2 million, I will be generous.
Yeah.
What I've found is it's done nothing more than be an accelerator
of
my gifts, but it's also been an accelerator of my weaknesses.
Yeah.
And so the reason why I think that there's the fear in the Bible about money is because all it's going to do is make you more of who you are.
Whoa.
And with that, the bigger the income, the bigger the thing, the bigger the either opportunities or the bigger the liabilities in your life.
Yeah.
So seeking money, and seeking more, having a retirement account or paying for your kids' college, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with us is us.
Yeah.
That's right.
Good. It does. It just magnifies what's already there.
It does. And money is binary.
Mm-hmm.
It's money. Money doesn't make or break anything. And money in and of itself is not spiritual. It is how it connects with our heart and our soul that's spiritual.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you're so good at, because I know you've encouraged me through the years, and I want all you guys listening, ladies, the goal of this podcast really is not to say, go make more money as much as it is to say, are there smarter ways of working, and are there things that you might not know that you could do that are relatively not that crazy time consuming?
Totally.
That would provide another income stream for your family, your kids, your college, your whole deal. And it's not some pyramid thing we're doing. No. I just want to talk about, I want to get in your head a little bit with, you're picturing a mom there who wants to stay at home. Her mm-hmm. husband's a pastor or yep. a worship leader, and she's got kids, and what do I do with this? And
yep.
he's only making this much money, but we want to go on vacation.
Just That's right.
throw out some, you know,
I've got
thoughts.
Three examples,
okay.
and they're all in the church space.
Okay.
Okay. There was a guy who worked at a local church, and their work schedule was Sunday through Thursday.
Yep.
And so he had Fridays off with his kids at school, and so he had that time period, you mm-hmm. know. And so I would say, even when you're listening to these things, to the listener, before you start going, yeah, well, that's different than mine, or yeah, that's different, just listen.
Yeah.
Let's just take it in and learn a little bit. What he did is he bought a machine to clean carpets.
Okay.
And you go, okay, how much is that? Well, at first, it's zero. Why? Because he would go ask me, Casey, do you need your carpets cleaned? Yes. I mean, I don't ever think about cleaning my carpets.
All right.
And I trust the guy, I know him, and sends me a text and says, hey, I'm doing this little carpet cleaning business.
Right.
Well, here's what he was really doing. Getting me to say yes and about five other people. Then he would go to Home Depot and he'd rent the machine and he would come clean the carpets of five people's houses, and he would make $150 to $200 or whatever it is per yeah. deal, making $1,000 per Friday. And it would take him 5 or 6 hours to do, and he'd take the machine back and have to pay just a little bit for the machine.
Yeah.
But he was able to do that, put $3,000 or $4,000 extra a month in his pocket and work at a church.
Yeah.
That's one example.
Okay.
Another example is, and that's just a practical example. Anybody can do that.
Yeah.
It's just, will you?
Right.
That's right?
I think when we have these conversations, we all get to that, yeah, that'd be awesome, but the will you is the big, that's
right.
the kicker. Like, are you really going to go ask people?
Yeah.
Well, is that something I will do?
Yeah. I think most people, I'm not going to go down that pathway.
Yeah.
We can go there later. But it's like, the second thing was, I know a guy that's like really good on like stage. So I know a lot of people listening here are really good on stage.
Yeah.
Well, there's a local company here in Atlanta, and they do corporate events to where they have hosts that like host events on stage for like corporate events.
Right.
And so he gets paid like $1,500 to $2,500 for a night. And he's able to go to these corporate events, that's a Coca-Cola sales event or whatever.
Yeah.
And just because he's good on stage and he's already a funny guy and he's been in student ministry before or whatever, he mm-hmm. gets up and acts goofy and whatever, but he gets paid $1,500 to $2,500 yeah. because he looked for an opportunity, and he does it at night, and he can do it, and he can put that extra money in his pocket.
That's great.
Is there anything wrong with that? Crap, no.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's yeah. able to do some stuff
exactly.
and do the extra.
Right.
A third example is, I know of I know a lot of these people. Our friend Brian Miles.
Yep.
He's got a company called Belay.
Unbelievable.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's some people that are part-time assistants on the side. So you may have a part-time job at church
yep.
where you can be a part-time assistant for 15 hours a week, virtually work anywhere in the United States
computer.
Of America
yep.
from your computer, and book flights, appointments, calendar, you know, all that kind of stuff for an executive somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that. Like, those are all real options that you could all do in the next 24 hours.
Wow.
The reality of what I found, though, is all of this sounds good, but most people will not take the first step.
What do you think holds people back? What do you think?
I think the first thing is like, yeah, but. Yeah, but you don't know my spouse. Yeah, but you don't know my pastor. Yeah, but you don't know my situation.
Right.
Yeah, but if I had all that, I could get that figured out. Yeah, I don't have the idea. Okay, well, I just gave you three.
Right.
Right? But that's not even the point.
Yeah.
The point is, yes, you can.
Right.
You're just not. And so make a decision, number one. That's, I'm going to do it. Number two is create a goal. So literally say, in the next 30 days, I'm going to create an additional $1,000 for my family. Just make that decision.
I love that.
Number three, publicly state it on a social media platform of what you're doing. I am scared to say this, is what the post needs to say. I am making a decision, and
love
I'm going to make an additional $1,000. And the reason I'm going to do this is my family, and we want to take a vacation, and here's what I'm going to be doing.
Wow.
And if you do that, I guarantee you we'll get a story in from somebody that says, I did that, and
yeah.
the people that saw it and my idea or whatever it is, they supported it, and it allowed me to start.
Yeah. Oh, those are good. One of the things that we do at Worship Circle is we have these terms, and it costs money for people to be in school and
sure.
go through everything, and it's not cheap. And one of the things that I try to help our members, and a lot of them do this, is that they can reach out to raise support for their actual membership.
Of course you can.
But I find for all of us, anytime it comes to money, it's such a private thing. You know, like we don't, even in what you're talking about, like I'm going to post on social media that I'm going to do this thing to raise money for, you know.
You don't have to make it like a mission trip kind of feel.
Right.
But I'm just saying publicly, so like one time when I was running, I'd never run a marathon before, and I said, I'm going to run a marathon.
Oh, boy. That's hard.
Well, I just publicly put it on Facebook that I'm running a marathon on whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Did you do it?
Yeah. I ended up running three of them.
Oh, my goodness.
But here's the point. Yeah. I never would have done it if I wouldn't have publicly had myself accountable to doing what I said I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That's just...
So one of the things you're talking about really with this whole idea of becoming entrepreneurial or trying something is it's good to surround yourself with some people that will hold you accountable.
Totally.
Because otherwise it's all in our head and we defeat ourselves after time.
Can I give you one more idea that my daughter does?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's 11 and everybody listening to this has heard of Amazon, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So there's a thing called albatross that you can do on Amazon, and what that at retail albatross. Sorry.
Okay.
What you do is you go to the end racks at Target.
Right.
The end racks.
Oh, the stuff that didn't sell and
it didn't sell.
Kind of hanging there.
Listen, Amazon has an Amazon reseller app that you literally can scan the barcode. And it will tell you, this is how much this is selling for on Amazon. Here's what the star rating is.
Oh, wow.
And you can literally see what the spread is. So if it's selling for, we bought these scooters, some scooters. They were selling for like $199.
Yeah.
But we found them and they were like $65 at Toys R Us. Not Toys R Us. Yeah, Toys R Us closeout sale.
Okay.
And so my daughter bought these scooters and we took them home. And all we did is just relist them on Amazon and then we sold them and you make the spread on it.
What a great idea.
I know somebody makes $500,000 a year selling shoes like that.
They go to
outlet malls and they see what they're selling for on Amazon and they go out and they do it. So I'm not trying to just give you, but like there's so many things that you can do that don't, you can do at night, you can do when your kids are asleep, you can do on the weekend and it didn't have to take up your whole life and you can make a couple thousand extra dollars doing them.
That's good. Well, that's the heart of this whole thing. And I mean, I wanted to tell the story of how you've impacted Worship Circle and hear about all God's done through you and what you guys are doing, but our heart, guys, really, as you listen, is just a dream. And know that you can do anything you set your mind to without sacrificing your family and killing your heart in the process. Let's talk a little. Let's go back up. So you're at this company now, Graby, started it.
Yep.
What are some of the values you guys have that kind of are foundational for your culture here? I mean, literally, guys, I hadn't been to the Graby office yet, and I walked in. And I'm carrying this podcast gear, and the door opens, and this gun thing goes off, this loud pop, and confetti just flies everywhere in the air, and it scared me half to death. And unfortunately, they got it on video. Unfortunate for me. But is that a value, like fun?
Oh, we have five core values, and one of them is that we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah, I can see.
But we don't. And what I found is, like, you know, there's so many business owners that like try to get their people to work and produce and all this kind of stuff. And it's like this, like, you got to do that. And we believe in that. We believe in you got to produce. But what I found is that it seems interesting that when you create an environment where people can get as many snacks as they want, where they can go get their kids off the bus if they want, when you give people freedom, it's like, lo and behold, they crush it.
Yeah.
So we don't take ourselves seriously in like this too seriously.
Right.
And we take ourselves serious, but not too serious when it comes to this. And we love to have fun. We prioritize parties. We love days off. We go do things. Like, it's not cool to say I'm working at 9 o'clock at night and I'm working extra, right?
Right.
Like, it's not cool, because what we found is people that do that are oftentimes some of your worst employees because they're trying to do things themselves and do it longer hours, and longer hours don't produce bigger results.
Exactly.
Better hours do. So anyway, that's one of the values. Another one we talked about in our staff meeting today is that we approach life with optimism.
Okay.
So Louis Giglio, who I know obviously helped you, you know, getting started and all that stuff. One of the things he said one time that's a part of this was, you don't create culture, you are culture.
Yep.
He said that on a Worship Rocket thing.
Yeah.
And I remember that And here's what I mean by that is like, I am the culture when I walk into a room.
That's right.
I may be sick. I may not feel good, but here's what's free. A smile.
Yeah.
It's free. An attitude is free. My wow. effort is free. All of those things are free. And so we approach life with optimism, being that like we're not going to sit around and let our circumstances determine mm-hmm. how we come to the table.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
So those are some of the things. We've got more, but I don't want to bore your listeners.
No. No, man. It's so good. And you came back to the working smarter hours thing, because I think so many of our listeners are just, you know, they get tired quick.
They do. And it's a hard thing. Like yeah. all day Sunday, and like if you got Saturday night services, that's even worse
yeah.
from just a time yeah. thing.
It's like everybody, I wish we could say there's no more multi-site and video and we're doing one service. Everybody will be like, I can do the one service.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll put all our effort into the one service.
So, I just will say, I know very few people who've gotten past 40.
Yeah.
Unscathed.
Yeah.
That went that hard for that long.
Mm-hmm.
And unscathed can mean whatever you want it to be. Emotional yeah. burnout, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's just not gonna last.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I was giving any advice of lasting is just that you've got to even stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is not be a jerk
right.
to your boss, you know, your pastor, or yeah. whatever. None of that. Be respectful and honoring, all that kind of stuff. But realize that you need to take time off with your family and go to church with them.
Yeah.
Like, and you go, well, I can't. Okay, well, then move churches. Yeah. Like, I mean, literally, like, make decisions. Because if you can't take some time off, if you can't take a proper vacation without being connected, if you can't do those things,
mm-hmm.
what I found oftentimes is it's not the boss. We think it's the boss,
yep.
but we've got to set our own boundaries to say, this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm not going to do.
That's true.
Without being a jerk.
Yeah.
That's a fine line, right?
Yeah. It's not because you're mad. It's because you're...
No, you're a person.
You're wanting to actually help the church better.
Yeah, and you want to help for a long time. So yeah.
That's great. Big deal. All right, let's end with this. I ask a lot of people this question. It's always fun. What would you tell your 20-year-old self?
A lot of things.
Don't do this.
A lot of things. Number one, don't take my family for granted.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, I heard this quote that familiarity breeds contempt.
Mm.
And the more familiar we are with relationships, the more likely we are to forsake the relationship because we think they'll always be there.
Wow. That's huge.
I would say,
and very true.
Just don't. I would tell myself, like, act as if Tony Robbins says this. I don't know if I can say that on a worship leader. Sorry,
absolutely.
Guys.
Go ahead.
Look up Tony Robbins, I'm very sorry. but he says, treat every relationship like it's the end of the relationship, and there will never be an end. So, how you would act if you were going to lose something is how you should act every day.
Oh, wow.
And there will never be an end.
Yeah.
And so instead of assuming that this thing's good for life, or we're good for life, and even our friends are good for life, and these people close to me are good for life, is just act as if today's the only day. If you had that only day and you were going to lose it, how would you act? That's what I would change.
Mm.
That's where I messed up. That's where I was wrong. And yeah. I would say I screwed that up.
Yeah. Yeah. I got so busy in ministry.
Yeah.
Carrie was raising the kids,
yep.
doing the thing, and it's like, well, I'm doing the thing, and I'm providing, and I think it's a common thing for all of us that we need to pay attention to at a younger age.
Yeah, and my thing is I would say, like, well, I'm providing as a substitute for being present.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've learned, that was just an excuse. Like, you can do both. You can provide and you can be present. And one of the last things I would say is, I tell my team this here,
yeah.
or our team. I hate when we say my team. So
it's our team,
peeve,
yeah.
Is don't ever let your bad day become your family's bad night.
Oh, wow.
And it's like you can choose to sit in your driveway and say, you know, I'm a dad, I'm a brother, I'm a husband, I'm a father. Now I'm done with work. And you can literally just make a decision to turn it off and just say, I'm going to go in and be, I'm going to be different.
Yeah, that's really good. Do you and Casey talk about work, or do you try to keep that?
Yeah, we talk about it, but like, she's a labor and delivery nurse.
Yeah.
Right. So like, we literally live on the, I'm in the credit card processing industry. Yeah. So we talk about decisions or situations, mm-hmm. but like, we're so far on the other end of the spectrum on me understanding what happens at a laborer and her understanding. Then we talk about the big things, but like, it's not a huge topic of conversation all the time.
Awesome. So, well, Casey Graham, thanks love you, brother. Me. Thanks for being on. Just one final thing. You just talk to all the leaders and people in ministry out there. Anything God lays on your heart for them as we wrap up? Any last minute charge or thoughts or encouragement?
Yeah, I would say that we're talking about this whole money thing.
Yeah.
We oftentimes think, here's what's going to happen. You're going to pay anyway. You're going to pay for the college. You're either going to pay for it in debt when they go, or you're going to pay for it in side income now.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to pay for your car anyway. You're going to pay for things anyway.
Yeah.
Just don't feel bad about making a little bit extra, because you're going to pay now or you're going to pay later. You just get to pick.
Yeah.
So, and I only say that because I've met a lot of people that are paying later.
Yeah.
And they say, man, I wish I would have paid sooner.
Mm, that's really good. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, bro.
It's been good. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Worship Circle podcast. As always, we want to remind you that you are loved, that you are not alone. And when you lead, when you walk with Jesus, we stand with you as an army of worship leaders that's growing around the world to bring hope to people who need hope and healing to people who need healing. We hope you join us next time. And until then, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Worship Circle. And share this podcast and the information about it with any leader you know, so that they can become part of this growing tribe of leaders on the earth.